We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Haw, live and local, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Ben, are we going to do something?
I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Steve Kerr. He, of course, a former Bulls player, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, who are playing down in Texas. And if you did not hear about it yesterday, there was a elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, which is apparently just outside San Antonio. You know, 21 people are dead. 19 students, one died overnight, a teacher, and the murderer's grandmother. He apparently started his spree by killing her, and then this is an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And he went into this school, and he killed 18 people at the school. 21 people total, 19 students and a teacher at the school, 20 people at the school. I don't know anything about Uvalde, Texas, but I do know that what Steve Kerr is talking about is happening all over this country. We know about the ridiculous attack in Buffalo where African-American people were cut down at a store by some 18-year-old racist kid. I mean, it happens too often.
David, it happened again.
We're broadcasting from the Prudential Building. Okay, we're right next to Millennial Park.
Right.
There was a 16-year-old shot in the head by the Bean, right there.
Yeah, we're in a city where you don't have to look too far and wait too long for an example of just senseless violence, and it becomes important. It is important that you don't become numb to it or desensitized by one bad headline after another, because, you know, Steve Kerr, what he did, what he said, and how he said it was powerful and passionate, and exactly the way that you hope that politicians respond. Because enough with thoughts and prayers, you need policy and change. That's the way you do this. That's the way you confront this. That's the way you address this. We have a gun control problem in this country. That's not a political statement. That's a personal statement. It isn't political. It is personal. It's more about human rights than gun rights. And this happens way too often for us to just say, okay, you know, you feel bad for a day and then you move on. You've got to move on, but you got to let it, you've got to find ways. We've got to all find ways to let this not be accepted to the level that it continues to happen. It's awful. I mean, imagine sending your parents or having all these parents send their kids to school and having, you know, that phone call, that news update. It's just it's inconceivable if you have kids to think of having to make that trip to the school fearing and knowing what's happened.
You know, I spend 5 seconds and look up Steve Kerr and his life story, because he's a pretty extraordinary person. And he was born in Beirut, Lebanon. And of course, when he was, I guess, was he in college at that point? Or
he was at Arizona. Man.
He was at Arizona. Yeah. His father was an educator at the American University in Beirut. He was kidnapped and assassinated. And he's talked about, you know, having this kind of idyllic life up to the point where this, you know, this terror attack ends up with his father murdered. And it's horrible what anybody goes through when they're connected to acts of violence. And the thing is, David, I think you're right. I think we have really somehow numbed to this, to what this is. Children dying, you know.
We can't normalize this.
Well, but it's certainly happening all over this country. And I think, you know, I was talking to my wife about it because, you know, this is so horrific. All this senseless violence is so crazy. And this, like, demonic attacks happening around the country by young, like, how there's our young people that are doing this to other young people. And you know, my kids go to high school, and I think it's happened a couple times where their school has shut down because there was like some wire tripped or somebody did. They have to go through these plans for what to do.
They have a protocol.
If there is
every school has
shooter,
a process.
An active shooter.
They do.
That, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I never went through anything like that.
We had
people getting shot in where I grew up. Not far from where I grew up. And you know, we never had to worry about these sorts of things. And my kids have sat in a school classroom listening. Is there a gunfire? What's going on?
Is this a drill? Is this an alarm?
Yes.
Because when we grew up, I think that those things were still possibilities. They were realities, but they were not happening as frequently as they're happening now. And they weren't as orchestrated as these acts of terror seem to be. And that's what I mean. It's too easy and it's too accessible for people to get a gun, to buy a gun without having a proper background check, without having a proper sort of vetting process. And it should not be easier in America to buy a gun than it is to find baby formula. You shouldn't be in a case where this is so you have an 18-year-old who has, you know, who's troubled, or the next time it happens, to have somebody with these mental health issues, why are they being allowed to purchase a gun?
This isn't a political issue.
This is not a political.
This is a life issue. This is about the rights of people. I mean,
this is a sports talk show, but yeah, this is something that affects everybody. And you have the Golden State Warriors coach speaking as eloquently and as powerfully as you heard anybody in America speak on this yesterday. That's why it's relevant, and that's why you can't ignore it.
And he did not make a call for gun control. He made a call for background checks, and he talked about the idea that 90% of Americans want people to be checked before they're allowed a gun.
That is
90%
common
of us want
sense
that.
Safety.
That has
Molly.
Nothing to do
absolutely
with
true.
I'm taking away the guns and you can't ever.
Excellent
point. You know,
the background checks involve gun control by virtue of having, you know, tighter restrictions around people who can purchase guns, because maybe somebody will be flagged in a background check. Okay, if you want to look at it that way, fine. We're talking about gun control, but we're talking about background checks. That's what Steve Kerr is pounding his fist on the podium for, because he's had enough. We all should have had enough by now.
Yeah, I. Okay, it's a very difficult subject to talk about. I ended up not wanting to watch this, having heard the story. I didn't want to know anything about what had happened because it's just too horrible to hear about. And if you're a parent, if you have children, if you're out there and you have grandchildren, you know, the idea, we had a texter, his wife is a teacher. He has to say goodbye to her every morning like she's a soldier going off.
Not knowing if today's the day.
Exactly.
That your school
because
is next.
Because she's going into a school?
And that's unfathomable in America.
It's beyond human comprehension.
But it is reality. It's what people live with every day, and that's the unfortunate part of this. And that's why you can't turn away, look away, cover your ears and eyes, and pretend like this isn't happening, and it couldn't happen in your backyard, in your hometown, at your neighborhood school.
And my personal belief, I don't want people walking around. I don't want an armed populace. You know, I have my niece is going to be coming to visit us, and I have to sit her down and give her a talk about where to go, where not to go. You know, she's going to do some stuff downtown. Come home afterward. Don't try to go out. Don't wander around. Like, because I'm sitting here looking around my city that I grew up in, that I grew up taking city buses to the L and going downtown as a kid. And now I'm not sure I would want to do that.
You're not paralyzed by fear, but you would be naive not to acknowledge what's going on. And as a parent, as anybody, you don't even have to be a parent to be affected by this. I mean, it affects you differently as a parent, I think,
right,
because everybody has dropped their kid off to school, and you can relate to that feeling and that horrific reality that once that begins to set in. But
this hateful attack in Buffalo, these were older people. There were older people.
And this was like, another targeted assault.
If you have a mother, if you have a grandparent, if you have a sibling, everybody has the same thing that they got to deal with all this stuff. And again, we're not a political show, but it doesn't seem like much of a reach. You can have your gun. Just fill out the paperwork when you get it, right? So, listen, here's the problem.
Nobody's trying to deny
anything. People can get guns no matter what.
Right.
People can get guns. I understand that. The guns are everywhere. But some semblance of control for an 18-year-old that is off the rails and has posted some stuff. How can we not do a background check of someone getting a bloody assault rifle so they can shoot up a school, for the love of God?
It doesn't seem that complicated. It should be simpler than it is. But I think that there is an inherent fear that when you begin to either have this conversation or introduce this kind of legislation, that there's going to be this pushback by people who feel like their rights are being, limited. And perhaps they are, but after so many examples, perhaps they should be. And you, in terms of just restricting the access to people who can get their hands on these weapons, because nothing good comes of this. Nothing good comes of this. It's one tragedy after another, and we cannot become desensitized to it. You just can't.
And good for Steve Kerr.
Good for Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He had a basketball game to play. They're in the Western Conference Finals, and he didn't really say, you know what? I need to focus on the Mavericks. I need to do what I need to do. Steve Kerr is as aware and as plugged into these kinds of things as you would want anybody. He just happens to be a basketball coach.
Yeah, and he happens to have had a tragedy in his life that is a real thing that he could access and understand.
He can lead this he can lead this discussion. He frankly has.
Yes.
For a while, when this happens, and it's happened too often, you do, and that speaks to how fed up he sounded and was, because he has been this passionate before. And to what end?
I mean, I think we all are fed up.
Yeah.
I think I don't know anybody, even friends of mine that are like significantly more conservative in their outlook, they feel the exact same way. I don't know anybody, honestly, that thinks it's a good idea to have the teachers carry a gun, then they can protect themselves. These are empty, dumb ideas that are put out there by politicians that have people surrounding them, protecting them 24/7.
Well, you want the politicians who are in a position to do something about it to have the same response and reaction that Steve Kerr did, right? Isn't that the hope? Because how many people looked at what Steve Kerr had to say and how he said it and said, I wish he was my governor. I wish he was my congressman. I wish he was my senator.
Yeah.
Some people are going too far.
Right.
I wish he would run for president.
Right.
But I think that when you see his response, he can lead the way in trying to get people to not become desensitized or numb to another tragedy the way we saw yesterday and the way they're trying to recover from today down in Texas.
All right, we're going to get to the pick six, and we're going to go back to our job of distraction. Steve Kerr God bless him. He brought us out of it, and it's an important message to get out there. We got the pick six next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
So how bad was the 16-3 loss from the White Sox to the Red Sox?
You know, I think it was as bad a day for the White Sox as Sunday was as good a day for the White Sox. If we praised the doubleheader victory as the best day of the season, that's one of the lowest. And I think it was one of the lowest because they got blown out with their stud pitcher on the bump. And, I mean, say what you want about Dylan Cease. Everybody talks about he's got the best stuff and he's been fantastic. And, you know, he may have lost the Cy Young Award. Who knows? In that moment. I hope that's not the case. But maybe I'm overreacting. But that if we're going to sit here and talk about a couple wins over the Yankees and all that happened on Sunday as this remarkable, wonderful day for the White Sox, then we ought to just be honest about it and call this as bad as they've had a day.
I'll agree with you to a point. I think that if the White Sox season ends up the way that it could, and they do go on a little bit of a roll after recovering from this terrible loss last night, then we can still look back at Sunday as a pivotal day, or that weekend in New York as a galvanizing force like we talked about yesterday. But last night was bad. You just want to throw it into the trash can. You want to move on. I still can't get over our guy. I want to make sure I attribute this correctly. Jay Kuda is the guy who works with StatHead. He has some great White Sox statistics. Trevor Story has more RBIs since Thursday than everyone on the White Sox all season except for Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu. Trevor Story, and I said it before to say it again, the never-ending story keeps hitting. And you need to find a way to shut him down. Last night was bad, but it doesn't have to be awful. if you win the next two games.
Can Jay Cuda tell us something about time travel so we can go back and sign that guy?
Pick six!
What did you make of the Bulls releasing a statement saying Zach LaVine underwent successful left knee scope yesterday, including the sentence, LaVine is expected to make a full recovery?
Okay, my first reaction was, I like the fact that they're still invested so much in Zach that they're giving us updates.
Yeah,
I know that's somewhat irrational, but I'm like, oh, they still care. They still care, and I don't care what he said on TMZ, and I don't care what LaVar Ball is telling whoever. Zach is still going to be part of this operation and organization, and they still are keeping an eye on his knee recovery and surgery. And, of course, expected to make a full recovery, and surgery was successful. They typically wouldn't issue a press statement or release if – do you ever see one that says surgery was unsuccessful? No. Good sign. I like also the fact that we talked about the Paris trip next January. They promoted it by using an image of Zach LaVine shooting along with Vooch and DeMar DeRozan. I know that's a silly thing, but I think we're looking for any sign of clue and sign that would be encouraging at this point.
There are tons of photos of Zach wearing his Balmain Paris t-shirt. That's like some really fancy Dan t-shirt wear. I think to get a t-shirt that says that.
That's a message.
That's like $550. Oh, I'm saying he loves Paris.
Exactly.
That's why they're doing
and
it.
And he's sending a subliminal message.
I love exactly what you said about it. I hope they're paying for the surgery, by the way, because he was injured with their team. But the idea that he's expected to make a full recovery, I read that as he's expected to return and we're going to pay him. That's how I read it. So I'm very happy to hear that.
Pick six.
What did you learn from Tim Anderson's pregame comments on Josh Donaldson? Do you feel any differently now on the length of the suspension? And how badly has MLB messed this up?
I did not know that the timeline that Tim laid out about this jerk saying that to him in 2019 and him telling him that we're never going to talk again. And then the guy not saying anything to him when he was in Minnesota. So that's significant to me. And now all of a sudden here he is and he's back to it. And Tim's had enough. And you know, I this really frosts me, but I won't get into it. Those Yankee fans, honestly, you people are covering yourself in shame.
I think that I learned that Tim Anderson had even more reason to consider this an insult with a coded message because it went back 3 years and he told him at that point, we're done. We're done talking. I have nothing more to say to you. There is no inside joke with people that don't get your humor or don't care about you as an individual and not your friend. So I liked what Tim Anderson had to say. And I like the fact that he wants to move on and focus on baseball. I also believe this. MLB did mess this up. And I think they messed it up because they were influenced by the New York media. And I think when you see and you hear things and you read about columns almost absolving Josh Donaldson and on the radio you hear of hosts rolling their eyes and guests not wanting to address this, it tells you that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred buckled to the pressure. Because if Josh Donaldson, I think, were a San Diego Padre or a Colorado Rocky, I think he would have gotten a stiffer suspension.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
How about Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson running with the second team in OTAs on Tuesday? Bears coach Matt Eberflus cautioned not to read too much into it right now, but what do you read into it right now?
Oh, I like reading into this, and I like everything that I read. This is a head coach establishing, I don't want to say boundaries, but certainly a way of doing things. And if he's not happy about Jalen Johnson's level of participation so far, this is a very subtle but significant way to show it. I like it. I like it because nothing we heard so far have heard from Matt Eberflus suggests that he is over the top with his praise. You've got to prove it to him. And I think the Bears have guys on that roster that have to prove a lot to a lot of people. But Jalen Johnson running with the twos is just the right kind of subtle message to send to everyone on that defense who assumes they're a starter that, wait a second here, you haven't proven anything to me yet. I need to see more. And this is a good way of maybe making you recognize that there is a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, I would say that it is relevant, pertinent. I think that this is a message, and if you can't hear it, let me just tell you what it sounds like through my little decoder. It's a message that says, get in, buy in, or get out. It's as simple as that. You're sending a message, maybe to everyone, but really more to this guy. You know, you got a good thing going here, man. Things are good. You got a great opportunity, and we're going to get better. Get in or get out.
15, 10, 5, touchdown, a pick six.
Were you surprised to see former Bears cornerback Kyle Fuller sign a one-year deal with his hometown Ravens? Would he have returned to the Bears, or was that a non-starter?
I think it was a non-starter. I think the Bears cut him, and I think he wound up getting, you know, he went from making, what was he making, like 12 to 14 million to 9.5 last year, and now I shudder to think what he's making. It's not that much. I would take him over, was it Tavon Young that they signed from Baltimore?
Yeah.
I think that Kyle Fuller can play. He's 30 years old. He made a couple Pro Bowls in Chicago. I think it was a non-starter, and I think for a couple of reasons. One, the Bears aren't paying anyone, and he does not want a prove-it deal in Chicago with a team that's rebuilding. He'll take one in Baltimore, his hometown, with a team that has a chance.
Oh, I get that. If you're Kyle Fuller, you made a decision that you've been wanting to make your entire career, I think, going back home, being a starter for a team that every year, let's face it, the Ravens are in contention, right? They're going to win a division. They're going to compete. Maybe they can get back to the AFC Championship game. I would definitely think if I'm Kyle Fuller, that's something I want to be a part of. I don't think coming back to the Bears was ever a realistic possibility, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. You are wanting to build your roster with players that are going to be here when you are contending. And it wasn't Kyle Fuller leaving necessarily that was always the problem. They never replaced him. It was bad enough to let him go. It was worse that they never replaced him and thought that they could get by with the Kendall Vildors of the world. So good for Kyle Fuller, because I think that after maybe a slow start as an NFL cornerback, he acquitted himself very well in Chicago, and he was missed.
Touchdown, Bears, on a pick six, and that'll make everybody happy.
Roger Goodell said the investigation is nearing the end regarding Deshaun Watson, and a determination will be made shortly. Reports are that his suspension status for multiple accusations for sexual assault and inappropriate behavior will be made before training camp. Meanwhile, the Browns are reportedly open to eating some of Baker Mayfield's $18.85 million salary in a trade. So how fouled up is this situation?
Very, very, because we're still waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think this investigation has gone on far too long. What are you going to do, Roger Goodell? Where are you? What are you waiting for in terms of more evidence? Haven't you gotten enough evidence? Are you dealing with agents? Are you dealing with owners? What's the holdup here? Make a decision, because if I were the Browns, I would want to know. I would need to know. And if it's going to be a half of a season, it would change my thinking on what to do with Baker Mayfield. If you are going to be half a season without a starting quarterback, I would think that Baker Mayfield would be somebody you'd have to have a really hard, long conversation with about sticking around to play the role of, you know, quarterback in waiting, or, you know, quarterback waiting to be replaced. It's not inconceivable that he would be the starting quarterback week one for the Browns. It does seem like it would be very uncomfortable. But if you can, you know, eat some of that salary, that's what's been preventing a trade. I'm more interested in how the league comes down in Deshaun Watson sooner rather than later.
Yeah, listen, this is a disaster. This is a mess. This is, the idea that you trade for a guy with this hanging over his head and you give him the contract that they have given him and guarantee him all that money, and he's, you know, it's team friendly because he's only going to be paid $1 million this year, because guess what? He's probably going to be suspended for a large portion. And the Baker Mayfield situation, guess what? They're going to have to eat a ton of that contract in order to trade him. Every place you talk about trading him to has already got a quarterback, not a great quarterback, but someone in place. So Baker Mayfield doesn't want to try out. He doesn't want to work hard to try to prove himself at a team. He wants to walk in and be the starter like he was when he was the number one overall pick. And, you know, I don't know enough about that situation to feel good or bad about it. It just seems like the Browns are a disaster. And even if they manage to somehow, this manages to benefit them, shame on them.
Yeah.
This is just a very, this is a, you've cut a deal with the devil.
Kind of a smarmy situation.
Ugh.
Well, do you think that this Mayfield situation with either the Panthers or the Seahawks is being held up by the fact that maybe either team or both aren't willing to let him live in the stadium?
You know what? I mean, I just want to say one other thing. And I know this isn't part of the question, but did you happen to hear the conversation about whether or not they're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco? That was unbelievable. The candor and the lack the complete transparency, to coin a term.
Thank you.
I
like transparency.
That you heard from Shanahan about that.
Yeah.
I was almost like, I almost got whiplash turning to look back at the TV when
like,
I heard that.
It's like when you're in a room and somebody starts to talk about you like you're not there. Like, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. And Jimmy Garoppolo being talked about in those terms, disrespectful.
No, I didn't think it was I think it was like the most shocking thing to hear an NFL coach sit down and like, well, the truth is, and he told you the truth.
Well, isn't that disrespectful?
We think he's going to be traded, and he probably wouldn't have been if it hadn't been for the shoulder. Now we don't know.
If that's not disrespect, what is it?
No, now he's competing for the job. I mean, I think it's called truth. I don't think he's being disrespectful. I think that if Jimmy hadn't been hurt, he'd have been long gone, and now maybe he's with him for another year.
That
stunned me, the absolute lack of transparency. I'm just not used to that. Wait a minute. Did he not lie? Hold on a second. The guy told the truth. I mean, the minute traded up for that player, you knew they had to play him and they have to play him.
Yeah, I think that there's almost this assumption that Jimmy Garoppolo is there to be replaced as soon as he gets healthy enough to trade.
That's right. And that was confirmed.
Yeah.
All right. 312-644-6767 is Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score.
Mully and Haw, live and local, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, David, imagine my surprise as I was reading the newspaper this morning and saw your name a couple of times.
Well, imagine my surprise is in being interviewed by the guy you worked with for 18 years, Paul Sullivan, yesterday. But not necessarily interviewed. I did not want to bring any more attention to this than it needed to be, but it's out there, so I think it's worth addressing. Yeah, I had a very uncomfortable experience Sunday morning on the reporters, the show on the Marquee Sports Network. It was unfortunate. What happened was, to make a long story short, second segment of the show, we were talking Cubs, and it came to basically Bob Surratt, Maddie Lee, Peggy Kaczynski, and myself were the four people at the table, kind of like the old sports writers set up.
Right? I was on the sports.
You were on the sports writers, so I don't know
why. No cigars, though.
No, there were no cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were newspapers there.
Yeah.
Those things on the table, kids, those were newspapers. And so we got talking Cubs, and I repeated essentially what I had said on our show on Friday.
Right.
And again, different audience, but Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce, that I felt like the Cubs needed to pick a lane. Jed Hoyer talked about being tethered to reality. I'd like some clarity. And the difference between this rebuild and the one that they executed successfully with Theo Epstein has so far has been a lack of transparency. And at that point, I think Peggy agreed and said added something to the mix. At that point, we had a sound in our ear. We were wearing IFBs, earpieces, that said, okay, stop, cut. And we were told there was a technical issue and that we needed to restart the segment again. I was like, okay. But this time without any mention of transparency.
You were told not to mention transparency.
Yeah, I was told that. I wasn't comfortable with that at the time. I was probably at that point surprised. Because we have all done, look, this is what we do for a living, but we have all been on talk shows on television that, you know, you have a pretty free rein as far as the commentary, the analysis, and it's not always going to be positive. I didn't think that was personal. I thought it was just a simple assessment of where the Cubs are, and I can guarantee you, well, I guess I shouldn't guarantee it, but we have been that candid with Jed Hoyer in person.
Yeah.
He is one of those executives that you can have a back and forth with, and he understands that there's going to be some dissent. And that's part of the, you know, living in a passionate sports city. So anyway, they came back. We redid the segment. I avoided any mention of transparency, uncomfortably so. And we finished the show, which is a half an hour show. And we went on to other topics. And then, you know, I didn't think anything would come of that. I did not want to, you know, frankly, to talk about it necessarily. It got out there. It's in both papers today. And obviously in the Sun-Times story, Mike McCarthy, who runs the Marquee Sports Network, mm-hmm. has now announced that they're not going to tape the show because it was taped. This was at 9 o'clock Sunday morning on my birthday. And
happy birthday again.
And now they're going to.
And they put you through the spanking machine.
No, they did. They did. Not that bad. Not
he
that bad.
You needed a birthday shot after you went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But now they're going to do the show live. And I think that's probably going to be more authentic because you can't necessarily control the message to the extent that it was being controlled. And I think, you know, when you call the show The Reporters, the understanding is and should be that it's going to include things that are truthful, candid, and not censored. That's the understanding. That's what happened. I don't like being in the middle of this, but I also think that they made those changes, and those are good changes, because you don't want to have a television network. I don't think that you where you control the message to the extent that where it all is seashells and balloons. This is not a good season. This is not a good time right now for the Chicago Cubs. It's okay to be honest, and with that comes credibility. With objectivity comes credibility, I believe. At least I've always believed that. And if you're going to have a show with the reporters on it, journalists in theory, then that's what you should embrace, not resist.
We played the cut from Tom, who was surprised when the Marquee Network was booed and said, "Don't you like the Marquee Network?" at a Cubs convention. I don't know. Is that 3 or 4 years old? I don't know how long it's even been on. I do think that this is the slippery slope that you get into when you start talking about team-sponsored media outlets. That even if, and in this case, there obviously was sort of a state television element to it, you know, a sort of propaganda-type element to it, if you're going to, okay, stop. Let's do it again, only this time don't say that. That is so far over the top, that's kind of patent at the goal line.
Right.
But I think that the fear often is when there are team-sponsored media outlets, the people that work for that outlet, without being told, seem to understand what they can and what they cannot do. There seems to be almost sort of self-editing that can go on just by the tenor of what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the danger when we hand over all of the, as you say, when you're dealing with a bias and you're trying to do something unbiased, you are bound to run afoul of issues just because of the nature of being team sponsored.
I think that's well put. And I think that's important to remember. And I also think it's important that at least in my case, I'm not going to overreact to this and brand them in a way that they can learn from this. And I think they already have. And I think they already have made changes that we've mentioned that are important to maintain, because you do want that authenticity and you do need that objectivity. And I can say this, we've been, you know, we're fortunate to be on a radio station that is the Cubs flagship. But
yeah.
I don't think we, either one of us, and nobody on our airways ever feels confined or restricted from expressing your opinion if things aren't necessarily going well. We can criticize David Ross. We can criticize Jed Hoyer. We have, and we will again. These kinds of things. Tom Ricketts, I think that if you can do it in a way that isn't personal, that's your professional opinion. That's your obligation if you have the jobs that we have. So when you go on these other shows, you're not going to be any different. And that's what I mean. That was a consistent message that I had said on Friday. that I had said on Saturday, and I repeated on Sunday, and that's the only thing that I said in response to when I left, before I left Marquee Studios on Sunday morning. I said, well, look, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but it was nothing new that I said, because if you were surprised by my opinion on this rebuild lacking transparency, then I shouldn't have been here, because I said it on Friday on the air, and I said it again on Saturday. So there was no surprises, and it shouldn't have been.
It's really weird to me. I think I learned at a young point as a sports writer that, you know, you could write the nicest story about someone, but one sentence that wasn't necessarily complimentary would be the one they'd approach you about.
That's it.
And like, I remember one yeah. time I wrote a story about, like, you know, it was like a general defensive line story, and I had a thing where I had a statistic. I got approached by this guy. We had this argument about it, and I was like, really? That was your takeaway? And that is what you learn. And so I think the message is, you know, if you got something to say, just say it. Just come out. This is my opinion. Hey, this guy does this and this guy does that. Don't try to hide it.
Don't hide it.
They're going to take it. You know, you can't bury what is a – and again, this was – I was stunned that this guy reacted that way. But I've gotten that – like, we used to have to give grades out for people for how they did by the midseason. You wouldn't believe how upset people get about that stuff. But that's because they're only looking at it through the prism of you know, how could you treat me like this? Well, I'm treating everyone. I'm trying to grade – you know, I didn't really – flatter anyone. You guys have won two games.
Yeah, we've all had those moments. It's so funny to recall some of them. But I think in closing, I think that, okay, Paul Sullivan and Jeff Agris in the Sun-Times and Sully in the Tribune, they handled this the way that it was out there. They addressed it. And I think Marquee's response to it has been positive and productive.
Fun.
So that moving forward, they'll now do the show live, and they'll now be more aware, perhaps, of not having, and I think that's good for the audience, and I think it's good for the network, because it is a new network trying to figure things out as they go along, and they're still relatively young in their existence here, and so this is probably it's awkward, but it's also part of the growing process and maybe growing pains for them.
And I saw that Chris DeLuca from the Sun Times said that no more Sun-Times employees will be allowed on the show as a result of that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which I think is, you know, that's firm, but it's fair. If you feel like that's the way you got to respond to it, I don't have a problem with him saying that.
Yeah, everyone's going to have their own way to respond
exactly.
to that. And I think you have to respect, you know, a journalist's reaction to to the situation. His staff writer, Matty Lee, was part of the panel at the time. So, and I don't know if the Tribune is going to do the same. I don't know if other entities will act similarly. I'm not sure how I feel moving forward, but I think that we'll see. I think we will all learn from this experience that is not necessarily comfortable to talk about, but we had to address.
All right. We're going to, we got a big hour for you. We're going to bring in Ozzie at some point here. We're going to talk some White Sox. There was a really interesting story from the baseball writers at ESPN yesterday where they were evaluating the must-see people in sports, in baseball in particular. And I think there's a real interesting dichotomy within that article that I want to talk about next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
You won't be booing about the Marquee Network in 1 year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.